I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Donon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, basketball fans of all ages, welcome to the Double Clutch Podcast. I am the hoops nerd, Hugh Hopkins, and today we've got a great show that includes hearing from Croatian legend Dino Raja. The former Boston Celtics forward is one of the most influential international players ever after winning silver at the famous 1992 Olympics in Barcelona against Team USA's Dream Team. He was also one of the first Europeans to have true success in the NBA alongside Vlade Divac and Tony Kukoc, and has inspired the likes of Bojan Bogdanovic today. He is continuing to inspire young basketball players as part of the Junior NBA program, so we're going to talk to him about that a little bit later on. But first up, we're going to get an introduction to the Junior NBA program from Vice President of NBA Europe, Neil Meyer. He told us how the home nation governing bodies of Basketball England, Basketball Wales and Basketball Scotland, they're all working with the best league in the world right now to offer training and development right here in the UK.
The Junior NBA program is the main thing that we're going to be talking about today, and it comes at a good time. Obviously, you guys have launched this year's program. The Junior NBA program is a sort of fantastic initiative that I've seen in, you know, the NBA London games and the NBA Europe games. But I wondered, could you sort of describe a little bit of the sort of day-to-day and week-to-week for us, for those who might not fully understand or might not have heard about the Junior NBA program before?
Yeah, so I mean, the Junior NBA is kind of our global grassroots initiative that we do, you know, around the world. And as part of that initiative, we have our Junior NBA League program, which is our largest program in the region with, you know, and we can get you the exact numbers, but we're at 80 plus leagues and in, you know, 90 different cities, reaching, you know, 40 plus thousand kids each year. And we're continuing to grow that. And it's really an opportunity for us to work with our partner federations around Europe and the Middle East to put on these Junior NBA leagues, which are structured basically like the NBA, with the 30 teams. You know, they play a regular season. Well, they have a draft event, a regular season, and then some form of single elimination playoff, as well as then a championship game to get a Junior NBA champion. And, you know, of our 28 federations that we have partnerships with, you know, they all structure them a little bit differently depending on what fits in their pathway, right? But the main part of it, it's typically under 14 for boys and girls to give them the opportunity with 10 to 15 players on a team representing one of the 30 teams that they're drafted to. So it's just a great way to engage the kids, to grow the game of basketball with the different federations around the region, and also teach kids life skills and values of the game that'll help them not only on the court, but help them off the court.
From what I've seen of the program, it is a fantastic initiative. And, you know, I think it helps get young players sort of enjoying the different aspects of basketball on and off the court. Like you said, this year, it seems to be done slightly differently, certainly in the UK, in the sense that you're working with the home nations specifically and the governing bodies, so Basketball Wales, Basketball England, Basketball Scotland. Why did you sort of take this route this year? Because, like you said, it was done with pathways, but it wasn't necessarily done directly with the governing bodies in the same sense. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I mean, so we through the whole pandemic, you know, we've worked with all the governing bodies in the UK as well as, you know, in our region. You know, we have a partner, Oklo, which is the app that is hosting the Junior NBA Stay at Home Active program. And originally, prior to the pandemic, they were our partner for the Junior NBA leagues in our region, and they were going to host all the competition schedules and stats and everything. But obviously, with the pandemic, we had to make a transformation basically from being on the court and active to being off. And so, you know, between March and going into kind of the lockdown, you know, we launched our first programs with our Junior NBA at Home. And then we worked with our partner Oklo to develop the app to be able to host, you know, these online camps and other activities. And so we did that as a whole regional basis. And then as we got into past the summer and into September, we really wanted to focus on how we could work with our partners directly in their home countries and try to make them more country specific. And obviously, you know, with the UK and having our great relationships with the governing bodies here, as we got in, you know, past the holidays and as we moved into the spring, you know, we thought this would be a great opportunity to work with them to deliver something specifically here in the UK, as we're doing in some other countries as well, you know, to engage with the kids because they've been at home for a year. You know, and it's giving them an opportunity to touch and feel British players, Scottish players, NBA, WNBA players, and other fitness coaches to continue to stay active, to still develop some of their basketball skills, but also to learn well-being and things of that nature that can help them in the future.
I think you touched on the pandemic, which I was going to come on to later, but we may as well dovetail into that now. The past 12 months, they have been difficult. You know, even elite sport, obviously the Olympics are postponed to later this year. You know, the NBA and the WNBA ended up finishing off their seasons in bubbles, respectively. Some kids this past year, throughout the whole world, they haven't touched a basketball. You know, because they haven't been able to get out onto a court. So what has been the aim specifically for the app, but for the junior MBA program? How are you managing to stay relevant in the past 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the app, I mean, we've worked with, again, Oklo, our partner, to really evolve the app. I mean, we've added our junior MBA at home. We've added our junior MBA online camps. We've added junior MBA coaches online. We're about to add junior MBA referees online. So across all different aspects of basketball, we're finding a way to engage with our partners and with kids. And I think, you know, the app with the ability to, we can do live sessions, you know, where kids can be taught drills and fundamentals at home in a small space, whether it's, you know, ball handling, defense, footwork, the fundamentals of shooting. Obviously, there's no rim, but you can still work on your shooting form, you know, so and there's that part. And then as part of the app, kids can come back and we give for when we do our camps or any of these, there's homework. So kids can get taught by Boki Nakbar on ball handling, who he's doing a pre-recorded video with his kids. On ball skills, or Zaza Pachulia, you know, working on passing with his kids. So the kids can do that at home with their brother and sister or their parent, you know, so they can stay active. In addition to that, you know, for coaches, there's a library of past coaching clinics. All our coaching clinics that we do through our coaching series, after they're done, and the live ones, they're uploaded. So coaches can go and get developed, you know, and watch clinics to develop. So it's really making it, you know, the ability to do things live, but also the ability to go back to the app if you miss something or to continue to work on something. And, you know, even as part of our camps, we would have kids who would submit, we would have homework and kids who submit videos would win a MBA prize. So we'd send them a basketball and a t-shirt or whatever. So, you know, it gives those kids the motivation to keep working as well.
That's good. I mean, there's obviously a huge element of, you know, maintaining a presence with the younger generation. As we know, the same way that you and I watch basketball these days is not the same way that some of the younger generations might watch basketball. Yeah. So how much do you take that into consideration when you're presenting these programs? Because it might feel alien to a lot of parents, especially who want to, you know, keep their kids involved. So how are you reaching out? You know, because there's an element of obviously creating a program for the kids, but it's also creating a program for those who look after the kids as well, and making it accessible for them.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and we're working at developing that, because we're talking about, you know, how can we get the parents involved, even parents, you know, from a physical perspective, where kids and parents can, you know, do exercises at home. And maybe it's not basketball, maybe it's just kind of fitness, stretching, you know, agility exercises, things that can keep them active. So, you know, we're trying to gauge, and the Okolo app is kind of it's a larger platform that's going to evolve over time, which will give parents an opportunity, you know, through our MBA Cares program to do community outreach stuff. So there's a lot of opportunities to engage. But I think, you know, going back to the younger generation, I mean, kids are consuming most of their stuff on their phones, right? And so to be able to have the ability, whether you're in your living room with your phone or your iPad, or you're out on your patio, or if, you know, when things do open up, you can go to the, you know, park and be on the basketball court and watch these videos and do the drills and do those things, because there's a whole library of activities you can do, makes it relevant to the kids and makes it, you know, something that's easy for them to use and to do, whether that. And then the other good thing is that now that we have this in place, once kids do go back to playing and back to the court, you know, this still will be here, you know, because, you know, the weather might be bad. So you can stay at home and do ball handling skills or whatever. So there's always something to do. And we're going to continue to do programming. I mean, we're going to, you know, 9th and 10th of April, we're going to do another one of our junior MBA online camps, you know, for the whole region, to just give kids an opportunity to participate. We're going to have some MBA players, WNBA players, doing Q&As and doing homework and actually teaching some of the drills. So, we're looking forward to that. And you know, just trying to be innovative to keep kids involved.
Yeah, I think it's also an investment, a long-term investment for the NBA and the WNBA, surely, because the way people are watching games even is completely changing. So you as the NBA and the WNBA need to build in that familiarity and that passion for NBA and WNBA basketball. So in the next 10, 20 years, when they've grown up a little bit, they're going to be the ones sort of, you know, buying the league pass subscriptions or whatever it's called in 10, 20 years, you know? How much is that at the forefront of what you guys are doing with the junior NBA program?
Yeah. I mean, for us, our main, you know, goal from a basketball development perspective is we want to get more boys and girls playing basketball around the world. Right. And, you know, obviously football is number one, but we want to try to catch football. And by doing what we're doing, we think with all our junior NBA programs globally, and then obviously with what we're doing locally, that's going to only enhance that. And we couldn't do it without our partner federations. I mean, without Basketball England, Scotland, Wales, you know, we wouldn't be able to deliver this program to the level we want. So having good partners like that, and we, like I said, we have 28 partners in our region currently, that we work together, and it's a mutual beneficial opportunity for us, because it allows us to increase the fan base of basketball and maybe create future NBA fans or WNBA fans. But it also is an opportunity for the federation, with working together with us, to get more kids engaged, more playing in their home country, which maybe gets a boy or girl who hasn't played before, starts playing, and then who knows, she becomes the next national team player, you know, that helps their national team raise to the next level. So, you know, it's a give and take thing where we're both able to work together to kind of reach our goals. And I think the federations like that, and they like the ability. And then on top of that, you know, depending on the country, especially in Europe, with the number of players that we have in the league, you know, being associated, let's say, in Slovenia with our junior NBA league there, one of those kids gets drafted to the Dallas Mavericks, you know, obviously they all know who Luka is. So how cool is it? You're on the Dallas Mavericks and, you know, you're playing and you can pretend you're Luka, or, you know, whatever country. It used to be Dirk in Germany. We have Giannis in Greece now. And, it's really getting them connected with those players to be aspirational and give them hope and how they can potentially get there, but also the national team players. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to, you know, again, like I said, work with the GB players and the, you know, the women and the men players to connect with the UK kids is important, because those kids, they can be role models for those kids and inspire them to continue to work hard and grow and maybe become the next Team GB woman or men's player that gets to compete at the national level.
You know, you've spoken about the importance of inspiring that generation then, which is great to hear. I guess also partnering with the governing bodies, especially the past 12 months, has been an infrastructure thing, really, isn't it? Because it's from your end, it's probably been a bit more difficult the past year to sort of reach those local clubs and local players and, you know, get them involved. Is that part of the thinking behind all this, is that you're able to then speak to the members of those federations and build up a relationship with players and fans that way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, because the federations, I mean, they have their, you know, whether, you know, we have a good relationship with the, you know, GB and all the federations and the BBL, and they all do a great job of pushing the game and trying to push the game forward and really fighting to get the funding they need to grow the game. And for us to be able to work with them, you know, to expand our reach and ability to get those kids engaged, is important. And I think, you know, again, it's a mutually beneficial opportunity. And you know, with 16 junior NBA leagues in England, with the Scotland League, you know, I think we're going to grow. We had two there in a wheelchair league, but we're going to grow that league in the coming years. And you know, we're hoping to finalize a couple other partnerships here in the UK to bring on the other federations for our league. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to work together and grow the game. And not only that, it the more we work together and develop those relationships with the federations, the more opportunities we see that we can do more together. Right. So as we continue to grow and progress, I think, you know, we'll continue to do more with our partners here and grow the game.
So do you think there could be the junior NBA then, especially in England, Wales and Scotland, do you think there's an opportunity for it to sort of be a Basketball Without Borders program of spotting talent as well, much in the same way that, you know, the NBA has sort of brought Joel Embiid through and Giannis Antetokounmpo through? Could we see some talent from the UK being spotted and saying, okay, let's get you into a G League or something to that effect on the WNBA side of things, you know?
Yeah.
Will there be that opportunity?
I definitely think so. I mean, you know, obviously with the other part of having these relationships with them is when we do our BWB programs, we work with the federations in each of the particular countries to pinpoint, you know, the right under 16 or 17 year old players in those countries to participate in BWB. And, you know, obviously with our Junior NBA Global Championship and the things that we've been doing in our region and other regions, I mean, from all our leagues, obviously we didn't do it this past year for the first time because of COVID, but we always do a selection camp where we bring the top boys and girls working with the federation to select them to a camp where we do a basically a week training camp to evaluate the kids, compete, teach life skills, and whatnot. And then we select the top 10 boys and top 10 girls from all over our region to represent Europe and the Middle East at the Junior NBA Global Championships. So from that perspective, there's definitely an opportunity as this continues to grow for talent to be noticed. And we do follow the players that are talented and could lead to, you know, other opportunities through that to come to BWB. But also we also select coaches. So it gives us an opportunity. We bring in about 60 boys and girls, and then we bring in, you know, from each of the federations, so around 25 to 28 coaches that help us coach through the week. And then we evaluate coaches, and then we pick two coaches to represent the girls team and two the boys team. So it's also a pathway for coaching development as well.
That's great to hear, especially with the success of, former BBL coaches like Chris Finch and Nick Nurse recently. It's great to hear that there is a future pathway there, hopefully. So one final question then. I noticed the, you know, the you're also working with wheelchair basketball, and I believe you mentioned it earlier. This is I'm not sure if you've done this before, but correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't sort of spotted this as part of your junior MBA outreach in the past. What does that look like for you long term then? Because unless I'm mistaken, I don't think the NBA has a sort of wheelchair, or WNBA has a wheelchair or disabled league involvement anywhere really. What's the long term plans for that? Because it's great to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. I mean, and this is where, again, the partnerships and working together leads to new things. And the Junior NBA Scotland Wheelchair League is the first Junior NBA Wheelchair League we've done globally. I know Scotland is planning to expand that to a couple more teams this year. But we have had conversations with wheelchair basketball, both in Wales and Scotland. So we want to expand that. We would love to create, and starting here is kind of the pilot, let's say, to speak, where we could have a UK junior NBA league in each country, and then have, you know, a competition where there's a junior NBA wheelchair final, you know, maybe here in London or wherever. Because it's whether you're disabled or handicapped, you know, they love basketball as well. And for them to have the opportunity to represent an NBA team, and participate and have a chance to meet NBA players and those type of things is important. And we're excited about it. And, if we can do it in more countries, we will, because I think it's an important area to focus on. And for me, I had never done any wheelchair type coaching until I actually came here. And I forget what year, but we played in Turkey. We had preseason games in Turkey, and we did a wheelchair basketball clinic with some Turkish national team players. And I believe it was a U.S. National team player. It was a while ago, but it was just such a great opportunity to work with them. And I think we had Peja Stojakovic was there, and a couple other NBA players who got in the wheelchairs and played with them. And it was just kind of inspiring. And so I think it's really cool to be able to bring that opportunity to other wheelchair players around Europe, Middle East, and the world.
That's great. Well, it seems like an exciting initiative to add to already great program, and but best of luck with it for the next year, as hopefully, you know, we'll be playing some actual games come the autumn and the winter.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, but hopefully it looks like things are moving in the right direction. And it would be great to get back out there on the court as well.
Definitely. I'm missing it too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's great. Thanks very much, Neil.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. It was good meeting and catching up.
Hi, Dino. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Certifiable international basketball legend. It must be cool to still be giving back to the game of basketball, doing things like the junior NBA program.
You know what? It's really a great feeling that you have influence on some people and you can maybe help somebody change his life. For like I want to say that if I help bring one kid from a street and possibly, you know, becoming a problem to the arena, to the gym, to the basketball, I've succeeded. So it's just, it's a great feeling that you can influence some kids to go and play basketball. I think it's priceless.
Because, of course, growing up in Yugoslavia and Croatia, you know, you never really had this sort of direct experience when you were young with the NBA, but do you think this is something that would have benefited you and your teammates at that time to have something like this when you were growing up?
Completely different world back when I was a kid, and today kids have everything on their plate. you have all possible informations about NBA, about basketball, about any kind of sports, not just basketball. You can just spend hours and hours watching, following, reading. Back then it was nothing. Yeah. Not even mobile phones existed. TV, we had the TV, one channel, one. So if somebody doesn't understand me. And, 7:15, we had a cartoon, like Tom and Jerry or something like that. And then you're up to bed. completely different worlds. And definitely it would help me even more, because, you know, kids are easy to be influenced. But it's, times are changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Your generation sort of helped inspire so many, young Croatians. Obviously you were in that at that famous 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Since then, obviously that was the dream team in Team USA when they dominated the world. But your generation sort of brought along this new generation where, the world is now competing with Team USA. So do you feel like you had played a part in sort of helping other countries around the world become better at basketball just by sort of showing the world that you can on that international stage?
I'm pretty much aware of that. I am, as much as I feel lucky, because I was born in that generation of extraordinary players, Tony Kukor, Dražen Petrović, Stojko Ranković, Divac, Djordjević, all these guys. You have to be lucky to be born at the same time. But also, I'm very proud of being part of that generation that changed the face of the basketball worldwide. Mm-hmm. Because when we start beating the Americans, they realize it's not going to be enough the way we are doing. We have to, improve it. Not only by assembling Dream Team, but also they realize these guys can play. Let them invite in NBA. And then they start, opening the doors a little bit. And then after we came there, we succeed. Then today if you check the NBA composition, you see how many, foreign players, not only Europeans, but South Americans, Chinese made impact in the last couple of decades.
Yeah, and I think it's credit to the NBA that the league has sort of reached out to all these countries, recognizing that there is talent abroad as well. So that's why the junior programs are so successful, I think.
That's, I think, it's a great program because not just because I was part of it, but when you go there and when you see these kids playing the game, when you see these kids winning the game and getting these rings, and see them how happy they are, how proud they are, walking with these rings around the arena, showing it to the parents, to the friends. It's unbelievable, believe me. These kids are unbelievable. When you really part of that, when you feel them, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable when you see their happiness and way they react on being part of that.
You made your name playing international basketball for your country, but you of course had some fantastic seasons with the Boston Celtics when you finally got over to the NBA. And I think there is a new generation of people who are learning about Dino Raja thanks to NBA 2K, the video game. You are apparently a very popular legendary player to get on that game because you averaged, I think, 15 points, 8 rebounds, and you know really left your mark, even though it was a short period in the NBA. Do you get lots of young people coming up to you now and saying, I know you from NBA 2K?
Definitely helped a bit in this virtual world. People come to me, kids come to me, congratulations, you had a great career in this game. But, back then it was not, was no media coverage like it is today, and it was much, much harder to see everything and to know everything. Today, after the game, 5 minutes, you have all these highlights on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all these social media. And it's much easier to know everything about anybody who we want to know something about. And, but it's okay. It's something that's new. I'm proud of my career, and I think it was great. I would repeat it in heartbeat again if I have a chance. And I really pretty much I love the game, and that's been like a, addiction. I like to watch games, and I like to see good players. It's so you always in awe when you see a great move or great action or something. It's something that you never want to stop.
No, definitely, and it must be great seeing players like Bojan Bogdanović come through now and making their impact. Did you? When you were playing in the NBA and, when Tony Kukoc came over to the NBA, did you understand the impact you would have on on other generations now?
No, really no. No, at the moment you don't realize how big all that was. You just, you are trained to play the game, to win the games, and to be concentrated about what you have to do and how you have to play the game. Certain, different opponents every night, how to play them, different players with different skills. You have to concentrate on that. So you don't really think of the impact you do. Yeah, as the time goes by, you start realizing what had happened, and it is later on, that they came to us what had been done in our early life.
So your NBA career, it was entirely with the Boston Celtics. So do you still follow the Boston Celtics?
Definitely Celtics. They have a saying in Boston, once a Celtic, always a Celtic. And it's exactly that way. I've been to Boston for many, many times after my career ended. And every time I land in the city, I have a smile on my face. And they accepted me with love, and I felt great over there. I still have friends over there. I love Boston, and it's a great city, great people, and great sport nation with baseball team, with a basketball team, with hockey team, with a football, American football team. And, it's great to be, Bostonian lately.
So they're doing very well, obviously. How far do you think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can take this group this season?
I have to say that I expected them to have a better season than they're having right now. But, you know, all due circumstances with this virus stuff and, you know, it's really unpredictable. But, you know, they definitely have a team that can beat anybody anywhere, anytime. So, you know, if you underestimate them, you're done. They have team really that can, you know, put it together when the playoff comes. It's completely different stories. So I hopefully they can go deep. I think they have quality, definitely. They just have, you know, do the right mix and match.
Do the sort of younger generation that you see at these junior NBA camps, do they, you know, do they sort of look towards Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown? Are they trying to copy their moves? Do they ask you to teach them how to play like those guys, or do you prefer to teach them about how you used to play basketball?
I have my things, you know. When I was, you know, younger, I always tried to pick parts of somebody's game. Mm-hmm. But when you set your game, when you set your mind on certain things, then you know, all these good players, big players, think they're the best. So you always have a feeling that you can teach them, you know, your way, because your way was successful for many years and on many different occasions and different levels and different styles. So you kind of try to teach them your stuff, because that's something that you know the best.
Yeah. Well, that's been great. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so I appreciate you coming to talk to me today. And congratulations on the junior NBA success. I think what you've been doing with the program has been excellent, and hopefully you can continue to inspire more generations, including the current one that is currently playing.
Thank you very much.